Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I was interviewing a famous theologian and kind of a staid theologian, you know how they are.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Lee Strobel.
And then he told me a story. He said, in my church, when I was growing up, there was a family driving in their car. This is the day before seatbelts. And their 10-year-old child opened the back door and fell out of the car at 70 miles an hour.
Oof.
Well, they thought, my gosh, he's going to be dead. So they stopped, they turned around, they went back, and they found their son standing there in the street, perfectly fine. And they said, what happened? And he said, oh, you didn't see the man that caught me.
Wow.
And this theologian pulled out his handkerchief and started to dab his eyes.
Hmm.
He says, I miss that. I miss being in that culture where there was an expectation of the supernatural. I believe an angel caught him.
Hear more from Lee Strobel about God's power at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. The Wednesday Farmers Market on East Mall in Atascadero is now operating with winter hours 3 to 5. Buy fall and winter produce, strawberries, leafy greens, winter squash, artichokes, avocados, honey, meat, and so much more. You can even get fresh baked bread, pie, scones, and tamales. And if you can't make it Wednesday, swing by another North County Farmers Market in Paso Robles on Tuesday, Templeton on Saturday, or Baywood on Mondays. Farmers Market, open rain or shine. Check out social media for live updates.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. The Pan American Exposition of 1901 was in Buffalo, New York, a world's fair displaying all of the wonders of the then world. And there were wonders even then, most of 100 years ago. Thousands of visitors converged. Midst all the exhibits on the afternoon of September 6th, there was a senseless shooting on the fairgrounds. A man in the crowd produced from a dirty wrapping cloth a .32 caliber Ivor Johnson revolver, and he shot this other fellow twice, in the chest and in the abdomen. Now, the Pan American Exposition had its own ambulance, its own emergency facilities on the ground. So minutes later, the gunshot victim was at the first aid station, stretched out on a table in severe shock from loss of blood. A prominent Buffalo surgeon, Dr. Matthew Mann, summoned, arrived, examined the patient. One bullet had grazed the ribs, bounced away more or less harmlessly. The other bullet had opened a serious wound in the abdomen. That bullet was still in there. Dr. Mann said he must operate immediately. The afternoon light was fading. The electric lighting was poor. A surgical assistant borrowed a hand mirror and used that to reflect the rays of the setting sun to throw as much light as possible on the patient's abdominal cavity. The gunshot man was in his late 50s, appeared to have been in good health, but the bullet had punctured both the front and back walls of the stomach. Though Dr. Mann could suture the tears and clean out the peritoneal cavity, he could not find the bullet. And after looking around and feeling around, he was still unable to locate the bullet. So he closed the incision and covered it with a sterile dressing. The patient, still unconscious, was carried to a nearby house. You were considered safer in a private home than in a hospital in those days. In a second floor room, he was put to bed. That was September 6. A week later, he's getting no better. The bullet somewhere inside him had caused an infection. The patient was given violent purgatives to try to flush the infection from his system. On the morning of the 12th of September, the patient collapsed. He was revived at 2:15 in the morning of September 14. He died. Now, how might this gunshot victim of 90 years ago be treated today? Well, I asked former President Reagan's personal physician, Dr. T. Burton Smith, that question. And he says today, we would promptly locate and remove the bullet, suture the wounds, insert a sterile drain to carry away any pancreatic fluid or blood or infectious material. Instead of all of those enemas and laxatives, we would give him intravenous fluid to make certain that he was adequately hydrated. We'd correct any electrolytic imbalance. But most significantly, we would be able to locate the bullet with x-ray and remove it and prevent the subsequent infection. That's the way we treat such a gunshot victim today, and the man would be back at work within 3 weeks. And that brings us to the rest of the story. That September day, at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York, within 100 yards of this senseless shooting, there was a scientific display of a promising new device called X-ray. It could see inside a person, the inventor said. But to the medical profession of 1901, it was a curiosity, little more. So it was not used. And the hidden bullet remained hidden. And President McKinley died. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today, I have City Manager Jim Lewis on the show. He is going to be taking off at 1:30. I'm going to have an open mic night. I want you to go look at the video of what happened at the jail on Sunday. I'm hoping people call in and discuss that at 1:30. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Jim Lewis today?
Actually, I wanted to add one more new restaurant that opened 6 weeks ago in the Adobe Plaza. It's next door to UPS, and I would consider that a five-star restaurant, and it's called Mediterranean Spice. There is the same restaurant up in Paso downtown that's been there for 2.5 years, but I just wanted to put in a plug for that because the food is fabulous. They also took over Moe's Pizza, so they have pizza, they have pasta, and so, you know, in addition to all that Mediterranean, Greek, and Middle Eastern food. I just want to throw that in there because he mentioned a whole bunch of fabulous new restaurants, and that's a new one that he didn't mention, and it's fabulous.
Hey, thanks for mentioning that. I appreciate that. You're right. I have not eaten there yet, but you've given me something to do this weekend. I really appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, and I love Mediterranean food. It's actually one of my favorites.
Yes, of course. And I wanted to say that the prices are really reasonable. Really, really reasonable. You're going to be very happily surprised when you see that menu. It's fabulous. It's really good.
And where did you say it was located?
In the Adobe Plaza on El Camino, next to the UPS store, which is next to the Republican headquarters in Atascadero. And it's so it's and then, of course, the A-Town Diner kind of anchors the south end of the north end of the Adobe Plaza. And this one's in the middle, this Mediterranean Spice.
Thank you very much for calling in and giving us the information.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You too.
And that's the big difference about Atascadero. There used to be the Carlton Hotel for nice dining and a couple little places. And then over time, it just more and more and more. So is the Chinese restaurant that's going in? I grew up with my family. I don't know why my dad took us to Chinese once a week. And remember, we used to have Chinese, nice Chinese dining.
Yes.
All over. And suddenly you couldn't find nice Chinese dining. Is this going to be like a nice Chinese dining restaurant?
So it's open, actually. And I walked by Monday night and every table was full. And they don't even have a sign up yet. They have a little vinyl banner. They're right next to the entrance to the movie theater between K-Pasta. It's Golden China. And it's, I believe it's the same operators in San Luis Obispo. So people really like that food. And it's not the operator we had when the restaurant closed down in Atascadero. So Chinese was one of those things I hear a lot. You know, oh, we need Chinese again. We need Chinese food. And I will say, cities don't get to pick, right? I think a lot of people say, hey, we want this. We want that. Go get it, city manager. And it's like, there are some things we aggressively pursued Chick-fil-A. No doubt about that. And that was something we'd heard from our kids. Our young people really wanted a chicken restaurant. But we don't get to pick.
No, you don't. And I heard the same thing. There's a spot open in Paso, and people are like, well, that should be a Mexican grocery store. And I'm thinking, you guys don't get to pick what goes into that spot. The owners of the land are going to find someone that's going to rent. They're going to get the highest rent they can get, and they're going to rent their property to the person that you know, it's retail. Right. And the city doesn't get to say, we don't want that grocery store. We want this one.
Now, I will say, the cities don't get a say, and I think it's important to share that to your listeners, because that said, we do have economic development efforts. We have a person on our staff, and me personally, that's one of my things, economic development. I'm really invested in it. I have a lot of relationships after 2 decades in management in the county, and I will call people and say, hey, have you looked at us yet? Look at our financial stats. Look at our economic data. You should have a second location, or you should relocate here and cut your rent in half, you know? And so we will have those conversations with people, like working on Del Rio, you know, what's going in there. Mr. Pierce owns that, his family. And we talk a lot about different things and try and recruit different businesses and what will happen to Kmart Center. A lot of people ask about that. And, you know, there's an owner there that I think has some different ideas, and we've talked with them, and I don't think they're to the quality of a Tascadero. You know, we have high standards, and I think that as our community continues to be now a popular spot, and you've yourself said has energy, people are talking about a Tascadero all the time. We now want the best. We are choosy on some of these things when we have a say. Yeah, interesting. But there's a lot of good happening, for sure.
It is... And the finances of the city, I know most of the communities are having some trouble. Pismo Beach never did, because Pismo Beach, they have so many hotels. The revenue from hotels is so powerful. You're not going to have any financial issues. But at Tascadero, you have more hotels than you used to. You were here how many years ago?
I was here from 04 to 13, so 11, 12 years ago.
With all the new hotels and all the new retail sales, how much different are the finances now than they were before?
Well, they're much different, more so because our citizens have passed sales tax increases. And so that's the big, I mean, the retail sales are stronger, no doubt about it. And the restaurants help. And as we've grown the economy, our hotels, you're right, do help. You know, since... when I moved here 20 years ago, we didn't have Holiday Inn Express. We didn't have Spring Hill Suites. The Carlton was closed. It was boarded up, remember? And so
yes,
that really hurt. And now TOT is moving towards $2 million a year in sales tax, the transit occupancy tax. And so whereas Pismo is $17, $18 million. So think about that. You have a community of 7,000 people having $18 million in hotel tax versus a Tascadero with 30,000 people and $2 million in hotel tax. So it is kind of interesting. That's why Pismo prints money. You know, that's a big one. So our sales tax is a little stronger. Transit tax is better. Property taxes are definitely stronger because property values in Tascadero have really increased. So all that adds up. But Tascadero really is in the better situation. It is thanks to our voters. They said, we want better services. And so they passed D20. They've passed L24 with over 70% of the vote. People are really happy in Tascadero. They're really satisfied.
And you've done... what did you say? 60% of the roads have been redone?
Oh, sure, 40.
40. That's still a lot.
Yeah, and we have a pavement management plan, so we can actually look ahead. You know, people wonder, when's my street going to get paved? That's another good question. When is your street going to get paved? We look ahead out several years, and we actually have a pavement management plan that looks at street condition and the most economic way to pave areas, so we're not moving this street and then going to the north. We try and do it in groups of work, so it's most efficient. And we can tell you when your street will be paved over the next couple of years. And so... we will continue to make progress. And again, thanks to our voters.
And moving forward, what is our future things that you want to do for economic development?
Yeah, I think, you know, we want to finish out the Kmart Center, right? Working with that property owner to do something really imaginative, something that really, that's our last big chunk of retail. And so doing something there that will fit the county and the region. At the old Walmart site on Del Rio and El Camino across from where the Valley Fresh, and Valley Fresh is doing great. If you haven't been there, it's a wonderful store. I would submit it's the nicest grocery store in North County for sure. But across the way is approved a RV and glamping resort, and really, really high quality with a couple pools and a bar and lounge. And there's Airstreams that you can rent and cabins and a pond. That hasn't started development yet, but it's entitled, and I know they're working through that.
Will you get TOT for that?
We will. And that's TOT. So transit occupancy tax is a good revenue because you get 100% of it. That's the other thing people don't realize. So on sales tax, we get 1 cent per dollar spent. On property tax, cities get anywhere from 8 cents to 16 cents. And so, but TOT, you get 100% of it. And that's why that's good. So, yeah, so I think economically for town, finishing out the Del Rio project, having the RV and glamping resort, Chick-fil-A and finishing out the Home Depot Center will be great. Down on the south end of town near Dove Creek, which is a residential development, we have basically a public market kind of is going to be built. I think that's going to break ground March, April. And they'll have like an ice cream, coffee, deli, flower shop, a little bar and grill, an outdoor plaza for outdoor concerts. And there'll be some condominiums also built as part of that. So that'll be nice. I think a big opportunity for us is Eagle Ranch. And that's on the south end of town. It's on the west side of 101 south of Santa Barbara. And that whole kind of back corner. And then it tags along all the way to like three bridges. And, you know, that has a lot of opportunity, not just for housing, but like a dude ranch and some luxury, tourism opportunities. And some freeway frontage. So there are things like that. And then we want to really build up our, I was just meeting with the Economic Development Group yesterday about our new general plan. The council will approve a new general plan in 26, which is a big deal. That's how the city develops, right? And we're really taking a lot of the current retail spaces that are between the like San Anselmo and Del Rio. You know, there's a lot of soft property in there because retail isn't as dominant as it used to be. And really creating innovation and flex space for light manufacturing, light industrial, and those are the high-paying jobs, right? So as we get into space and get into other things, really kind of developing in between our off-ramps, I think that's there's a lot of opportunity.
And what I didn't realize the Eagle Ranch, where that was located. Mm-hmm. So there's been nothing over there, correct?
Right. It's an old ranch. It's thousands of acres of ranch space, open space.
Has your population increased since you were here before?
Yes, by a couple thousand.
Okay, so you're up to almost 30,000 people.
Yes, we're right at it.
Oh,
and
you're
when
at
I was
30.
Here last time, I want to say it was 27. So, I mean, people talk about how fast Atascadero is growing and how fast it's changing. It really isn't. We've only grown a couple percent over the last decade. And so I think it's very manageable. And I think that people are seeing we have great weather, great quality of life. And as our downtown continues to be enhanced, people are seeing us as a real place to move where you can actually kind of affordably live relative to Pismo Beach and San Luis Obispo.
And I've also noticed an increase of homelessness in SLO and a decrease in North County. Are you noticing a decrease in homelessness in Atascadero?
Oh, absolutely. And that has been very conscious. That has been, we have focused a lot on addressing homelessness in Atascadero. And how have we done that? So we have an amazing team. It's the OUR team. It's part of the community action teams. That's, in general, you would say a community action team is part of a police department that is focused on homeless issues. We call ours OUR team, our underrepresented residents. And it's a couple officers and a behavioral health person. And we have seen our population drop. I believe we're towards 60 a couple of years ago, and we're in the 20s now. And I think how, you know, we come at it compassionately, and then we're hard. And so, you know, our officers offer you help, help, help. You need to go to Echo. You need to get help. You need to get help. And if you don't get help, you don't get help, well, then we don't want you in our creek. We don't want you downtown. We don't want you, you know, we're going to help you, help you, help you. Then, okay, you need to leave. And so our officers are very assertive in how we address it. And so I would say, you know, when I got here a couple of years ago, there was a good bit of homelessness downtown. And you even saw it on the off-ramp there as you got off at 41. And that is all cleaned up. So we've been very aggressive on cleaning camps, posting camps. We since I've been back, we adopted a no camping ordinance. We have a shopping cart ordinance, so it's harder to get shopping carts away from stores. And if you don't have carts, you can't keep and haul stuff. And I will say, Prop 36, the voters passed Prop 36, and that gave law enforcement tools to go after drug dealers, go after. And so in Atascadero, we've actually arrested several of the people who were dealing drugs to the homeless. And if the homeless, you know, some of them who use drugs and abuse drugs, if they can't get it, they're not going to stick around. And so we have been very assertive in addressing homelessness.
I like the shopping cart thing, but I'll tell you what I didn't like. And I was actually in Atascadero. I was picking up something at CVS. My grandson had a mouth surgery, and I was picking up his medicine. So I went over to the grocery store next door, bought a big cart full of groceries, got literally right outside of the store, and it locked up on you. And I took it back into the store, and I said, "Will you watch this while I go get my car and bring it over here?" Because I had parked way past CVS. And it was like, okay, I can't get to my car, and these are way too many groceries to carry.
Isn't that something? That's funny you say that. So I try and spread the wealth in town, too. You know, where we eat, where we shop. And so shopping at Valley Fresh, Smart and Final, you know, Food for Less, all the places. And so I happened to be in Vons the other day because there was something I wanted to get. And my cart locked up right in the middle of the store. I was going down the aisle, and it stopped. It was very awkward. So I had to go find the manager, and they have a little gun. They can, like, unlock it. But hey, you know, it's one of those effective tools. And I think the council, I give credit to the city council. They said, we need to address this now. And they have passed policies and given staff support to do it.
And it again, it's every year. Albertsons in Paso has the same problem. You get near the end, like the last five spots. So you can't park all the way over by the gas station because suddenly you're about five spots from your car and you're going, oh, rats.
And once you lock up, you're locked, I think, too. So you can't wheel backwards. I know.
Yeah, it's kind of... Oh, no, I think the one let me move it, but I just couldn't get, maybe I couldn't, but one of them I got, I had a problem, and maybe I moved it into another car, and I can't remember, but the other one, I just walked into my car, I let it sit there in the road, and
that's funny,
but I do think it's better than having parking, you know, carts all over town.
Well, it's been good being on the show today. I'm going to step out.
Jim,
thanks for having
thank
me.
You very much for coming on the show.
You bet.
After I come back, we are going to talk about a little bit about what's going on at the county jail. I'm going to have an open mic.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending higher but paired from bigger earlier gains after the delayed consumer price index report came in better than expected. The blue chip Dow and benchmark S&P 500 rose, snapping a four-session losing streak. November CPI rose 2.7% year over year, while core inflation, which excludes food and energy, rose 2.6%. Economists were predicting that both numbers would top 3%. Shares of Micron Technology jumped 10%. The memory chip maker crushed Wall Street first quarter earnings targets and issued strong guidance. Tech gained while energy and consumer staples lagged. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Amazon, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, United Health, Amgen, and Procter & Gamble. The Dow rising 66 points. The Nasdaq higher by 313. S&P 500 up 53. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
2025 is wrapping up, and here's the truth. Uncertainty isn't going anywhere. Noble Gold Investments help you protect what you've built with real gold and silver, stuff that holds value when everything else is melting down. This holiday season, the best gift you can give your family? Peace of mind. Don't wait for the next crash to blindside you. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com and get started today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Don't leave the future to chance. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I am Central Coast Attorney Dave Duringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants.
The plans I draft include lifelong subtrusts for kids, which protect them from creditors, predators, divorce, and maybe themselves, depending on control. You can even incentivize postmortem transmission of values you care about. But that works better if you get buy-in now. Holiday meals are the perfect time to adopt, implement, and refine your family mission statement.
If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Duringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105 or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas from G Women Instruction.
We hope you have a Christmas miracle
for a fresh new year.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And during this last half hour, we are going to have open mic. You could call in to talk about Norma Moy. For anyone who does not know, Norma Moy died on Monday. She was 93. Someone else said she's 92. I was told she's 93. I'm not exactly sure which one. She was the driving force behind the revitalization of the Paso Robles downtown. She ran the Paso Robles Main Street Association for four decades. And she didn't create the association, but there was a man that created it. He ran it for about a year, and then Norma took over. And I do believe that Paso Robles downtown is what it is today because of Norma. And I will tell you, she was very passionate and persistent. If she wanted you to do something, she would call you and say, you know, I'd like to show you something that's going on. Can you come by? You'd say, yeah, I'll come by. I'll try to make it the next week or two. The next morning, you'd be getting a call. Are you coming by? You need to look at this. She was persistent, and you eventually did what she told you to do. I will tell you, I did. I had her on the show about 3 weeks ago. I know she is going to be missed. If you want to say something about Norma. I also want to bring in the what is going on here with those that are anti-ICE. ICE is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And it's just like anything else. There are people that don't like law enforcement. They don't like police officers. And then there are people that like all police officers. I believe every group has good and bad. I don't care if you're a reporter. I don't care if you're a minister. I don't care if you're a priest or a doctor. There's good and bad in all groups of people. And I think once you start to say, I don't like anyone in this group, back when we had President Biden, there were more people deported under Biden than anyone else. And there wasn't the anger over the deportations at this time. But currently in our county, there is a group of people who are going to the jail. They show up almost every morning. And if they see ICE show up, they get very aggressive. They berate the officers. They tell them their own parents don't love you. You're so unlikable. You have no friends. Just ridiculous, mean, nasty comments. They curse. They yell. And they also then make these claims that ICE is arresting only brown people. They go to the jail and they let the white people walk by, and then they grab the brown people and disappear them. Let's talk about what is actually occurring. They look at the logs. So when someone's arrested, it shows up in the arrest logs. They look at people arrested and when they're going to be released. And if you're someone that they've deported before, or you're a felon, or there's some reason you're an illegal immigrant, you came into the country, you're not documented, you didn't come into the company legally, you've obviously been in the jail, so you've committed a crime, and very often they're looking at people they know about these people because they've deported them before. And these other, the protesters then show up, and they get very aggressive with the officers and tell the immigrants to run and try to help people who have committed crimes who the ICE agents are trying to arrest. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
My observation is that I think these people are associated with Antifa. I'm Jewish, and I look back at Nazi Germany, and there's a big difference between the people who are helping the Jews in Nazi Germany and the people who are interfering with ICE. And I think that's obvious. It's axiomatic. You don't even have to explain that. But it's interesting to me that these people say nothing about the rampant anti-Semitism that's going on in the United States today, but they're out there trying to free prisoners and interfere with the lawful conduct of ICE agents and law enforcement. And you don't get to pick and choose which laws you obey. I personally think that a lot of our taxes are unconstitutional. And, but I still pay my taxes. I still have to obey the law. And if I don't, I properly go to jail, you know? And I think these people are trying to seize the moral high ground, but at the root of it is they just hate America. They want to destroy us. And then they don't speak about other issues that are legitimate. And that's my observation, and I would like your comments on that. And I'll take that off the air if that's okay.
Okay, thank you for calling in. And again, we're having open mic. You can call in at 238-5775. What I am noticing is they are, instead of saying, we need better immigration and we're going to stand for people that are not criminals, they are actually basically not wanting anyone who is here undocumented to be arrested. I'll give you a couple examples. There was a man who... there was a woman working in Arroyo Grande. Her boyfriend killed her at work. They believe he put her in a black trash bag, drove her to another county, buried her body with his brother, and then took her car to another county, lit it on fire, burned it in a field, and then this is what he's accused of. He's in jail. He's charged. And then they believe he committed insurance fraud by torching the vehicle that he applied for the insurance money on. He also had false documentation to be in this country. They went to arrest him after they had done the investigation, determined he had committed the murder. They went to Santa Maria where he was to arrest. I was told by one person in law enforcement that almost 50 people showed up. They're being loud. They're blowing whistles. They are trying to get them not to arrest this person who is wanted for murder. Now, I can understand saying, this person's been here 30 years. Let's try to help them be in the country. But I don't understand causing a ruckus and endangering the lives of law enforcement when they're trying to arrest a murderer. Those are the things that have really, I think you cross a line when you're trying to protect criminals. There was another case where there was an undocumented, there was an apartment complex. I think this was Arroyo Grande, and there was somebody, a meth maker, and they again tried to stop law enforcement from going in and arresting the person because they're there protecting undocumented immigrants. But these aren't even ICE agents. This is law enforcement trying to arrest, again, murderers and drug dealers. And if you haven't had a chance to see the video from the Slo County Jail, This happened on Sunday morning. There was someone getting out of jail who had been removed from the country before. They wanted to take this person into custody. So you had ICE agents show up on Sunday morning at the jail. And then you also had, you know, 20, 30 protesters that many of them then went into the lobby of the jail where people are released through and started chanting. And I can't even say what they were chanting. The language was absolutely despicable. They caused a major confrontation. I was told they then cornered an ICE agent, got in their way. They were trying to bring the, there's two doors they come through. The person was coming through the second door on the hallway, the immigrant they were releasing that they were going to, ICE was going to arrest. They started, the protesters screamed at him. He turned and tried to run back into the jail. And the ICE officer then took a step into the hallway, and a deputy said, you know, you can't, this is an area only for sheriff department personnel. He stepped back. They brought the immigrant back into the jail. This was not to protect the immigrant from arrest. This was to stop the ruckus and the issues at the jail. So what they have done is the sheriff's department have put up signs in the jail that tell these people, you can't yell at us. You can't yell at other people. You can't start a ruckus in this room. You are not allowed to do this in our facility. And if this happens again, I do believe they are going to arrest them. What the jail put out is that the sheriff's office employees should not be subjected to disturbances, obscene behavior, or foul language while carrying out their duties. This was from a statement the sheriff's department released last night. And then they write, this video is being shared to remind the public that this type of behavior is unacceptable and unlawful under Penal Code 602.1. This law applies when a person intentionally interferes with lawful business conducted by employees of a public agency open to the public, including obstructing or intimidating employees, visitors, or members of the public. Individuals who violate the law may be asked to leave the premises and may be subject to arrest if they refuse. So I think over the next couple weeks, we are going to see if there are going to start being arrests of people at the county jail for trying to obstruct ICE agents inside the lobby. And the interesting thing that I am noticing also, the things that they're saying to the ICE officers here, F ICE, the different chants, and saying your own mother doesn't love you, your family doesn't want to be around you. These are things that these protesters, people protesting ICE agents, it's the same comments nationwide, which makes me wonder, is this organized? Do they tell them what to say? Do they tell them what to write on their signs? Or do they watch others and then do the same thing? And why are they making these claims that they are randomly picking up brown people that disappear as if this is Nazi Germany, and they are grabbing people who are then never seen again just because they have black, brown skin? And again, I'm having open mic for the last half hour, 238-5775. I'd like to know what you think about the situation that is going on in this area at this time. And I do, I've also known that there have been a few people that have been critical of the sheriff's department for not immediately arresting these people. We have a right to protest in this country. And I do believe that law enforcement initially attempts to give they attempt to let people have freedom of speech, to have protest, to carry out and let their voices be heard. But when they start obstructing the rights of others, and they start obstructing the rights, law enforcement is when they become involved. I'm going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with another 15 minutes of open mic.
Propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Hi, Lindsay from Cajon's Jewelry Company. For as long as we've been here, there's been one principle guiding us: treat people with honesty and respect. That's why we never discount. We've always believed that pricing jewelry fairly, every single day, is the right thing to do. No inflated margins, no pretending something is a deal, just integrity. But now we're entering one of the biggest moments in our history, and we want to share it with you. After decades of showcasing designers we admire, it's time for Cajon's to create something deeply personal, our own jewelry designs, crafted with the love and experience this community has given us. To make room for this new chapter, we're liquidating our entire current inventory. December 2nd through Christmas Eve, experience more than just a sale. It's a thank you from our family to yours. A thank you for every visit, every story shared, every moment you've trusted us to be a part of. And this is your chance to take home something truly special at prices we'll never offer again. We're so grateful for the decades of support you've given us, and we can't wait to show you what comes next. Cajon's Jewelry Company, where every piece begins with gratitude.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bourdain to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Feely, your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. We're doing an open mic right now. You can call in to talk about whatever you're interested in. 238-5775. I do want to talk about a one-woman crime spree who hit San Luis Obispo County in late October. She was focused on North County. Her name is Lauren Johnson. She is 34 years old, and it appears this woman has been a serial thief since she was in her teens. She was initially in San Luis Obispo County in 2010, where she was breaking into cars, stealing people's IDs, and then running up charges on their cards. She has been arrested in multiple counties. In 2014, 6 different cases against her in the Sacramento area, including doing burglaries of occupied structures. She was sentenced to prison. She got out and she headed to our area. They know that at least from October 26th through December 12th, that she broke into cars in North County, specifically Atascadero, Templeton, and Paso Robles. She would go around to different cars and steal from the cars. For example, in late October, she broke into a locked vehicle in Atascadero. Not only did she damage the vehicle, she stole the person's ID, and then she ran up more than 950 in charges at different businesses in the area. She even went as far as going over to the student parking lot at Atascadero High School. So she broke into a student's car. She stole his bag. She took his identification, his credit cards. And he got off during a break and went out to get something out of his car and noticed his things were gone. His wallet's gone. He still has his phone with him and it dings and it tells him his card's being used at a retail establishment nearby. He gets in his car and drives over and confronts the woman. And he tells her, you know, that's my card. Oh, I just found it. I just found it. And wait, I'm sorry, you're using a stolen card. This led to her arrest. And then they determined that she had been involved in 6 other thefts that they know of. Here's the thing. They think she may have broke into other cars. So if you were in Paso Robles, Atascadero, or Templeton between October 26th and December 12th when they arrested her, and somebody broke into your car and stole items from your car, you can call your local law enforcement. They are looking for other victims of Lauren Johnston, who is currently incarcerated in the county jail. And interesting enough, when she did get charged and then convicted of the 2014 crimes, in 2017, the Sacramento District Attorney's Office asked the parole board, please do not allow her to get out early. Please keep her in jail. She is a serial thief. But let me read you what they wrote. They said, along with stealing 5 handguns and several other items, she stole the keys to the victim's vehicle. Inmate Johnston then drove off with the vehicle, stealing yet another car. And she drove, we have a caller coming in, and I'll finish this afterwards. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Vigili. I was calling to find out, has there been any updates on the Waterman Village trailer project going on the Adobe site? And most specifically, I was wondering, is there any information as to whether the nonprofits and docent groups that protect the other Adobes in town, such as the Dalade Adobe and the La Loma Adobe, have they voiced any concerns about the city using the park and Adobe to put trailers on it?
And for those that don't know what this is about, there was a woman who had worked at the Tribune, and two women owned this home. I think they moved in the 1800s. The place was built in the 1800s. It's one of the oldest buildings in San Luis Obispo County. It's called the Dalade Adobe. It's on Dana Street. And they gifted it to the city. The city was supposed to use it for Parks and Rec. And a nonprofit wants to build around 220 square foot modular buildings for modular apartments around the property for very, very low income and homeless people to live in there. And they're planning on putting a park bench up. There's a lawsuit against the city. The city lost the first round on that. It came back. The city was absolutely, all their arguments that that was just a suggestion, that was not a contract. They came back. The judge said the deed is a contract. So really their things are gone. I don't know about other nonprofits. Have you heard anything about other nonprofits not wanting or groups that watch the other Adobes being upset about this?
No, that's why I'm very concerned, because, you know, these groups fight for the other Adobes, and the Waterman Village Adobe appears to be one of the most valuable ones. And, you know, they're saying that they're going to put the trailers in a park-like setting, but there's not enough land for it to be like a park. It's all going to be littered with trailers. And it was apparently part of the mission, like I said, and it seems like nobody's stepping out to protect that valuable piece of our heritage.
I agree with you 100%. The thing that shocks me, I can't remember the exact amount they say this is going to cost. So they own the land. There's already utilities there. And for them to put in these modular structures, it's are you aware of how much they're planning on spending on this?
I think I read somewhere that they were budgeting, even though you can't trust the city's budgets, but $6 million for these 22 to 300 square foot trailer homes. It seems it would be a better use of funds to buy 20, $90,000 trailer homes that already exist.
Well, and they're buying pre-manufactured and sticking them in there, and they're going to probably have four units in one building or more. That's the issue that many people have, is that $6 million, if the private industry was doing this, it wouldn't even be near that. What do you think this would cost if private industry did it?
Well, I don't know, but I know on the real estate, if you go on Zillow, you can buy bigger new or trailer homes already on spaces in San Luis for $80,000 to $100,000.
Yeah,
so they must have a lot of soft costs and consultant costs.
And generally, that's what I see when a nonprofit and the cities get involved. Things generally cost more than double what they would cost in the private sector. But the bigger issue is this was supposed to be Parks and Rec.
Yeah, the other issue is what experience does this Housing Solutions have? It doesn't really, looks like they're affiliated with some people in Los Angeles or groups in Los Angeles and possibly Sacramento, but it doesn't look like the core group has any experience with development. It, you know, $6 million would explain that if it's costing them that much, it seems.
And I'm seeing more and more of this in the county where they are giving, you know, it's the same thing, the group that was going to build the port over in Port San Luis. They have never built anything before. But there's major money being given to people without experience.
Yeah, that's very alarming. And then also it's hard to understand how they can characterize it as homes when it's in a park-like setting, when it's trailers going next to a creek and filling up the entire property, and they're cutting down all of the vegetation and all the historic trees and such that are listed on that property.
I think it's going to be...
It's very disturbing.
I have... The judge's ruling on the demur kicked out the city's primary allegations. It was a very, because their primary thing was this was a suggestion, not a contract. And the judge came back, deeds are a contract, not a suggestion. So I don't know what will happen, but it doesn't look good for the city moving forward with their low-cost housing development on that street at this time. Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you, listeners, and I will have, we will be on the 31st. We're going to go over a number of stories from the past year, and have a Merry Christmas. We'll be right back.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.